Good morning to everyone, and I trust you're having a great weekend. It's amazing to think about Christmas is upon us. It seems like this year went by so fast, but Christmas is upon us, just a couple weeks away. So definitely, I'm sure lots of planning and all that kind of great stuff that's going on, but definitely it's a great time of the season, and I'm sure we'll have enjoy our Christmas holidays, whatever it is that we're doing. In keeping with the theme of Christmas, next weekend is our church Christmas party, and so that is actually at 5:30 p.m. So you want to take note of that. It's at 5:30 p.m. next Sunday, so there's no church service here in the morning. We'll meet together Sunday night at 5:30, take communion, and then have our Christmas meal together, some karaoke, some fun, all that kind of great stuff. So again, that's here at Sandy Hill next Sunday at 5:30 p.m. If you're visiting with us, you're more than welcome to come and join us. It's going to be a great time. The cost for this event is only $10 for adults. $5 if you're a student, meaning a teen or a campus student. And if you're younger than that, it is free of charge. And so just a reminder, $10 for adults, $5 for teens and campus, and free for those who are younger than teens. I definitely want to welcome back to Canada. Of course, Chris's mom has come back. Of course, many of us know her. There she is. Of course, she had moved back to Jamaica, and now she's moved back to Canada. The timing may not be the great in terms of the cold that's coming, the 15 centimeters of snow that's coming tomorrow, but I know that she's, I'm sure, excited to be able to see her family, and it's good to be able to see her with us this morning. Yeah, I'm not sure what kind of week you may have had. I'm not sure what kind of morning you may have had. But life is full of different kinds of stresses. Is that not true? Yes. I didn't hear anything, so I thought, no. I know people were probably thinking, no, no, no. Life is not full of any kinds of stresses. So here are a few hints to know if you're going to have a bad day. So these are a few things of you, if you're kind of thinking, you know, how do you know if you're going to have a bad day? And here are a few hints. When you open the paper and find your picture under a caption that reads, "Wanted, dead or alive," then you know it's going to be a bad day. Your twin sister forgot your birthday. Or your four-year-old tells you that it's not impossible to flush a melon down the toilet. Or the bride's family throws rocks instead of rice. Then you know it's going to be a pretty bad day. You call 911 and they put you on hold. Or you know it's going to be a bad day when your boss tells you not to take your coat off when you go to work. Or your secretary tells you that the FBI is on line 1, the DA is on line 2, and CBS is on line 3. Then you know it's going to be a bad day. You know it's going to be a bad day when you have to borrow from your Visa to pay off your MasterCard. You know it's going to be a bad day when you go to the bank to make a withdrawal and the teller just laughs at you. Then you know it's going to be a bad day. Or you know it's going to be a bad day when the fortune teller offers to refund your money. Or you know it's going to be a bad day when a black cat crosses your path and drops dead. And you know it's going to be a bad day when it's taking 3 hours to make minute rice. You know then it's going to be a bad day. So I'm not sure what kind of day you may have been you may have gotten off to, but those are some little hints as to you know it's going to be a bad day when some of those different things are involved. You know, life, again, is again, filled with many different things, stresses in life. But you know what? We have no control over a lot of things that happen in life. But we do have control over what kind of attitude we do have when these things happen. You know, we may not be able to change different circumstances, but we do have control over what kind of attitude are we going to have. You know, how many of us want more peace in our life? Oh, no one wants more peace? Well, I do. Everyone must be full of peace and they're good. You know, or how many of us want to be more content in our life? And I think we think of many different things. I'm sure we all want more peace in our life. Or there'll be a time when our life, when things are not great, where we will desire peace in our life. You know, life in general is a fast-paced race. But sometimes we can find ourselves hurried, hassled, and trying to keep up pace with life. And sometimes we might stretch ourselves beyond our abilities, our limits, our capability. You know, all of us are vulnerable to stress. All of us are vulnerable to some kind of anxious feeling that we have in our life, to one degree or another. You know, it's considered, this book I was reading, of course I shared with you on Wednesday, a book I was reading for a class called Bondage Breaker, in terms of just how we need to think to, in terms of a different way that Satan tries to attack us and to keep us in bondage and how we think. This other book that I had to read, for a course, called The Anxiety Cure, a proven method for dealing with worry, stress, and whatever other related challenges that we face in our life. And so today we're going to talk about a few different things, because this is a time of year where we already have, in day-to-day life, have some stresses. But this is a time of year where, and for many, it is more stressful. Whether it be the holiday Christmas shopping, maybe it's plans, getting plans ready for the holidays, to go see family. For others, it's work deadlines. Work deadlines that have to be taken care of by year end. For students, it's exams. And you think about, they're aware of the stress for students that in the University of Toronto, they do what's called dog therapy. And so they brought a bunch of dogs in last week to be able to help the University of Toronto students reduce stress for their exams. And so they thought that, you know, obviously this being an exam time, students are stressed. So, you know what, they're going to bring a bunch of dogs on campus to be able to help them reduce stress for their exams. Because their reason is that because dogs make you feel so loved, and they will reduce your stress and, of course, help you to do well on your exam. All the best to them. Unless the dog can write your exam for you, great. Maybe it'll work, maybe it doesn't. Nothing against dogs. I had one at one point in time. But there are many different things that people try to be able to alleviate stress at this time. You know, Philippians chapter 4, if you turn there with me. Philippians chapter 4, we're reading beginning in verse 4. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again. Rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. At last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but have had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You know, what an amazing passage. As we continue our time together, let's go to our Father in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful to be able to be here this morning. That, Father, we could sing, we can encourage one another. But Father, we can be able to spend our time today centering our minds and hearts on worshiping you here today. Father, as we study your word, Father, I pray your spirit would really work through me powerfully. So that, Father, as we talk about peace, as we talk about focusing on you, that, Father, your spirit would really work in each and one of our hearts. Father, to help us to take something away that we can apply to our lives. So that, Father, we can live lives filled with peace that only comes from you. And that, Father, we can be content in any situation, Father, because of our relationship with you. Father, please bless this time as we study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, of course, Paul is writing here. And Paul says, you know what? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, so for disciples, we can be able to be encouraged as Paul is writing from prison, and he's telling, you know, rejoice. And just so you can get it the first time, I say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. When we are in the Lord, we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to rejoice when we're hungry. We have reason to rejoice when we have difficult times. We have reason to rejoice when we have unfavorable conditions. We have reason to rejoice when we get 10 to 15 centimeters of snow tomorrow. Or we end up getting this winter. What if we get minus 40 degrees? We have so much to rejoice. Of course, it doesn't say to rejoice in the weather, but to rejoice in the Lord always. That because the Lord is near, that is why we can be joyful and we can be gentle in the most stressful times. That this time of season doesn't have to be a stressful time for us. Whether we have exams, whether we have deadlines, whether we're making family preparations, whether we have school challenges, it doesn't need to be a stressful time for us. Because in the Lord, we have reason to rejoice. And God monitors what goes on in our life, and He makes sure that we do not go through more than we can bear. And of course, at times we go through difficult times where we think, you know what, this is unbearable. But you know, God doesn't give us more than we can bear. And in Psalm chapter 145, in verse 18, it says, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. Who call on Him in truth. You know, God knows what we go through in the stressful times and the good times. God knows what is going on in our life. You know, what happened in your life this weekend? What happened in your life last week? Last month, last year, you know, God is aware of what happened in your life. But one thing we can rejoice is that, you know, God is near. God is not distant. He's not oblivious to what we're going through. That He is near. So if you lost your job, school not going well, family difficulties, you know what? We have to remember that the Lord is near. And Paul is calling them to have a great attitude. One where they rejoice, as he rejoiced from prison. And they have a great attitude that overcomes Any temptations for self-pity, for complaining, for excuse-making? To have an attitude that, you know what, to rejoice in the Lord always. It is only as Christians, through our relationship with Jesus Christ, that we can even have that possibility to be able to rejoice because of the continual presence of the Lord. You know, Paul continues. In verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. I'm going to read that one again. Do not be anxious about anything. You know, if rejoicing in the Lord wasn't already a challenge, do not be anxious about anything. But unfortunately, we are anxious about many different things in life. You know, we worry about, and it says 40% of things that never happen in our life. 40% of things that never happen in our life. We worry about 30% of things that happen in our past. Again, this can vary for some. Yeah, it could be 90%. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where these are statistics. 12% of health-related worries. 90%, 19% of small things. Petty worries, they're called. 8% of legitimate worries that can be solved. You know, we spend a lot of time worrying about a lot of different things. If you think about 40% of things that will never happen, 30% of things in the past. So right there, that's 70% of time, mental energy, focusing on either things that will never happen, and 30% of things in our past. But yet, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. You know, in Proverbs chapter 12, in verse 25, it says that an anxious heart weighs a man down. An anxious heart weighs a man down. You know, you think about when you have an anxious heart, it weighs us down. And you know, the thing about something that weighs us down our hearts, as in anything, the longer you carry it, the heavier it becomes. If you hold something, you hold a book for a day, you will see that when you started holding that book at the very earlier part of the day, it was very light. You're holding that book all day long, that book starts becoming much heavier. It's the same thing with different things we have in our hearts. It'll weigh us down, and the longer we have it in our hearts, the more it will continue to weigh us down and even just sap the energy out of us. You know, so God knows that, you know, hey, God doesn't want us to be anxious about all these things. But in Matthew 6, of course, we're familiar. He says, you know, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about these things, but to seek Him first. You know, God doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us experiencing all these things that are going to weigh us down. But instead, when we read in verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In everything. So again, we get anxious about many different things. But it says, in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, whatever it is that we're feeling in our hearts, God wants us to talk to Him about it. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, you can look at that passage. You know, what does 1 Peter chapter 5 say in verse 7? It says to cast all your anxiety on Him. Because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know, not to cast part of our anxiety on him, not to cast the small things on him or just the big things on him, to cast all anxiety on him because he cares for us. You know, in Paul's day, a group known as the Stoics, you know, they had a different way of dealing with anxiety. So they sought to remove anxiety from their lives by carefully teaching themselves not to care about anyone or anything. So therefore, they didn't need to worry about anyone or anything because they would just not care. So of course, if you don't care, you will deal with your discomfort of anxiety. So for an example, if someone was feeling stressed out about their finances, they would just say, you know what? I'm not going to care about my finances. You know, whenever I think about my finances, I just get stressed. So you know, I'm not going to think about my finances anymore. But of course, we know what would happen if we just let that just go on its own. But so many times, though, if you think about it, there's something that might stress us. And we go, you know, no, I don't want to think about it. It's too stressful. So what happens? We bury it because we don't want to face it. But yet, whenever we think about it, we're stressed. And that's how we can be at times where something that may be stressful, we go, you know what? Let me just not care about it. Let me not even think about it. Let me just bury it. And then maybe it'll just go away. But what's important is that we must be in touch with our circumstances. If we have finance or other things that stress us out, what's important is that we don't just ignore them, that we make sure we acknowledge them, but what we need to do with them is bring them to God. That we must be in touch with our circumstances, our thoughts, then be real with God about our fears. Be real with God about our hurts. Be real with God about our disappointments. Be real with God about our hopes, our confusion, our questions, our inadequacies, whatever it is that we might be stressed by, to be open and honest and real with God about it. To bring those things to God in prayer. You know, when we pray, there are a few things that we should remember. One is that we should remember the love of God, the wisdom of God, and the power of God. We should remember the love of God, that, you know, God loves us. He desires what's best for us. We should remember the wisdom of God, that God knows us, and he knows what's best for us. And we should remember the power of God, because God is capable of doing what is best for us. Therefore, when we pray, we should remember the love of God, the wisdom of God, and the power of God. You know, I remember someone saying, anything not worth praying about is not worth worrying about. Anything not worth praying about is not worth worrying about. You know, because sometimes we might go, you know what, this is so small. I don't want to pray to God about something so small. But yet this small thing is very big and very stressful in our life. But anything not worth praying about is not worth worrying about. You know, we need to bring whatever it is that we face in our hearts to God. And it says the peace of God that transcends all understanding. That this peace that comes from God, that transcends all understanding, that we can have peace in our life, when people can look at our life and go, man, they should be stressed. Based on what's going on in our life, they should be stressed by everything. But instead, because we're disciples and because we pray to God and cast all our cares and anxieties on him, we can have true peace through prayer and through surrendering everything to God in our life. You know, there are some very important things we need to realize about finding peace and finding true peace is that we won't find peace by looking for peace. I mean, like, it's one of those things where over the holidays, and sometimes I've been deceived to thinking, oh, I'm really stressed, it's now the holidays, all I really need is just to go on a vacation at Christmas. Or all I need is just to get a lot of rest. Doesn't happen when we're with family. Only that sometimes I've had quite a bit of rest on the holidays. But then January comes and I'm like, you know what? I could use some more rest. I'm still tired. After going and enjoying a nice luxury vacation, now I'm still tired. Well, it's because the peace is not, won't come from my vacation. No matter how alluring they are, with the little tropical trees and all that kind of stuff, your own oasis away from home. But sometimes we believe that you could find peace at the cottage, the resort, a vacation. Where we find true peace from God. We'll never find peace by worrying, because we can't worry and find peace at the same time. We'll never find peace by continually dwelling on our situation. We'll never find peace by focusing on ourselves. We'll never find peace, true peace, on our own. Because it's not something that we can manufacture on our own. This peace of God comes from God. And that's how Paul was able to have peace. That's why he was able to rejoice, because he found it in the Lord. You know, in verse 8 to 9, it talks about, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we have a choice in situations to change how we think. Sometimes our circumstances are out of our control, but what we do have control over is how we think about those circumstances. And it's amazing how when we change how we think, everything else changes as well. Sometimes the circumstances may not change, but our outlook, our attitude, the way we will approach it, once we change our attitude. That's why the Bible talks about to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how we think determines how we act, determines what we go and do. You know, you can write down in Proverbs chapter 23, you can look on your own, in verse 7, in the King James Version, it says, as a man thinketh, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. You know, it's very clear that how we think is who we really are. And this book that I was talking about, it talks about how whenever we face in terms of anxious emotions, anxiety, what's important is that we learn new ways of thinking and perceiving and developing methods for changing our patterns of thinking. And it talks about how as well, what's important of these, when we have different thoughts that come to our mind, that we take our thoughts captive. That at times our mind can play, we could have many different thoughts. Our mind can play tricks on us. Our minds can lead us to so many different places. And our thoughts can create a state of anxiety that leads to feelings related to anxiety. So therefore, what's important is change how we think. And taking every thought captive, apprehending it before it enters our mind. To take every thought captive is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And make it obedient to Christ. You know, mistaken beliefs, it says, are the root of a lot of anxiety that we face in our life. And I'll read a quote. It says, these deep-seated beliefs about ourselves and the world around us are typically so ingrained in us that we seldom recognize them for what they are. False. And it said, these thoughts are deceitful misinformed, inaccurate, and these thoughts are also malicious. They prevent us from becoming truly free to achieve our full potential. That's why Paul says, hey, whatever is true, whatever is noble, and he goes on, think about such things. You know, what are we to think about? Think about what is true. Whatever it is that goes through our mind, does it line with the truth of God's word? Whatever is honorable, is the thought that is being suggested in my mind, if I were to do something with this thought, would it be honorable? Right, pure, lovely, good, excellent, praiseworthy to think about such things. You know, there are so many different things that flood our minds, so many different things that we can hold to and think about. But God wants us to think about different things, because as our mind changes, so too will our actions. And as we continue reading in verse 10 to 13, Paul says that, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. You know, Paul says that he learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He said, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You know, Paul expressed his gratitude to the disciples in Philippi. You know, they did not have the opportunity until now to be able to show their concern. And it was not that he was dissatisfied with his own state, because he learned the secret of being content. You know, for our day and age, for many, to be truly content is a human achievement. But if you want to be content, it's something that we need to do to try to achieve it. But yet, deep down inside, after we have whatever it is that we've achieved, whatever it is we were waiting for, and we finally got it, we find out that, you know what, there's still something missing. And Paul knew what it meant to be truly content. Didn't matter what was going on around him, that he was content in his heart in any and every situation, because contentment was found not in his circumstances, it was found in the Lord. Paul could face anything, because in every situation he had Christ, because in every situation he knew that the Lord was near. And the man who walks with Christ can cope with whatever it is that they face in their life. You know, Paul learned the secret of being content by listening to the words of Christ, by putting them into practice, and living his life for Christ. You know, when we think about Paul, he's able to rejoice in the Lord always. From a cold prison cell, he was able to rejoice in the Lord always. He talks about, you know, we shouldn't be anxious, to be filled with the peace of God that transcends all understanding. You know, if we're a disciple this morning, you know, we can rejoice not just in the Lord when things are good. Because, you know, to be honest, anyone could do that. I mean, to rejoice when everything is going great, anybody can do that. But as Christians, we can rejoice when things are great, when things are not going great, because we are in the Lord. We don't have to be filled with anxiety in our hearts, carrying burdens that we don't need to bear, because we can pray to God and allow God to fill us with a peace that the world does not understand, because it's the peace that comes from God that transcends all understanding. And if we change how we think, we change our outlook towards life, and we appreciate what we do have, and we follow Jesus, you know, we do more than learn the secret of being content. We can truly be content in our life and be filled with gratitude because of what we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, let us never forget that we're in the Lord. Let us never forget what God has given us. And let us as disciples live faithful lives for Jesus Christ. Amen.